From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the third day of February 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel from Bates Commodities. Take up the cash grain with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County and discuss the weather forecast with the guys at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, we'll hear from Jonathan Kappas. He's the farm policy specialist right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the U of I. He'll take up ARC and PLC. Those are two programs that farmers will likely have to deal with should the Senate and the President manage to take the bill into a law. That's more likely than it ever has been because, well, the House of Representatives finally passed a farm bill last week. We'll do it all during this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from Country Financial. Country Financial is hosting farm information sessions throughout Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates to the federal crop insurance program, the farm bill, and how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. Registration information is on their crop update website at countrycrop.com/update.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. The nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat, or the March, up 8 cents today at $5.63¾. July at $5.68¾, up 7¼. That's the harvest month. And the hard red July at $6.10½, up 7¾. Corn pit now, March contract up $0.01¾, $4.35¾ the settlement price. May at $4.41¼, up 1¾, and July futures $4.46¾, 2¾ higher. December corn $4.53 for your new crop, up 3 cents. The March at $4.62, 2¾ higher. A soy complex bean futures March contract $12.92¾, a dime higher. May futures at $12.78¼, up 9¾. In July soybeans $12.62¼, up 10¼ cents. August at $12.20, up 9½. In November beans, the new crop, up 4 cents at $11.08½. January of next year at $11.13½. Up 3¾. Bean meal at $4.34 in the March, up $7.90. Bean oil at 19 cents lower for the March, settled $37.45. Live cattle futures, the April contract, $139.40, $1.025 lower for the day. March feeders at $168, down $1.42½. The April there at $168.40, down $1.27½. And lean hogs in the February contract, down $1.35 at $84.87½. April at $92.85, down $1.95. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from the University of Illinois here at Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. March contract, $96.55 a barrel, down 95 cents. RBOB gasoline, or wholesale price, at $2.60¾, 2½ cents lower. Ethanol futures trading $1.90, are up $0.015. And natural gas at $4.88¼. That's a 6½ cents lower for the day. Diesel fuel at $3.15, up 8⅞ cents. And the gold futures at $1,259.90. Up $20.10. U.S. dollar trading 81.01 is down 0.3 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. A winter storm watch remains in effect from Tuesday afternoon through Wednesday morning. Timing of the snow should begin Tuesday afternoon in the area. That will continue through Wednesday morning. Blowing snow will begin occurring Tuesday night and will continue into Wednesday morning, mainly along and north of a Beardstown to Danville line. Accumulations of 6 to 8 inches will be possible along and north of a Taylorville to Paris line. 4 to 6 inches will be possible south of that line all the way to Interstate 70. Localized, of course, higher amounts will be possible. Winds out of the northeast at 10 to 20 miles an hour will turn to the northwest overnight on Tuesday evening to 15 to 25 miles an hour. Visibility's not good through Tuesday and Wednesday. Impacts accumulating snow, areas of reduced visibilities due to the blowing snow. That'll create hazardous driving conditions Tuesday afternoon through Wednesday morning. Speaking of those, there are a couple of items that are scheduled for this week. The Pork Expo, as best I know, will continue as it is at the Convention Center in Peoria. However, the Champaign Crop Management Conference, which is scheduled for here in town, will be moved from Wednesday and Thursday to Thursday and Friday. The speakers on Wednesday will be moved to the Friday slots. So if you're scheduled for the Champaign Crop Management Conference put on by U of I Extension, don't show up on Wednesday. You'll be coming in on Thursday and Friday. And if you can't make that, you can reschedule yourself if you want to the Malta event that's up near DeKalb on the 12th of February. So those are a couple of things that are happening as we look forward to what's in the weather forecast here in the central part of the state of Illinois. Now on the phone line with us to take up the agricultural commodity markets for this Monday afternoon, it is the third day of February, Kurt Kimmel, he's at Bates Commodities in Normal. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Tell me about the marketplace and how things are proceeding in Chicago for the day.
Well, we saw some strength come at us here. We basically was kind of sloppy overnight, but as we got going here this morning, we saw 113,000-ton corn sale to unknown, a 40,000-ton bean oil sale to unknown, a little bit of export business taking place. A lot of strength coming out of the meal pit. Continue to see the frigid temperatures across Midwest. Meal consumption remains high. Meal exports remain fairly strong, and that gave a market little boost in the arm also. And export inspections for beans would, you know, fare 45 million bushels within trade expectations, not the upper end. They were looking for 40 to 65, came in 45. Overall, market was high enough to generate some technical buying interest in the marketplace that gave us momentum here just throughout the day here, and finished on a fairly decent note. The key is trying to hold these gains as we go into tomorrow's trade, especially seeing the outside market reaction here this afternoon, which is not very positive at all, Todd.
How will that impact trade overnight, do you think, tonight and then into the day tomorrow?
Well, I think it's probably going to limit gains. Technically, the market, is moving up to some resistance levels, and, you know, unless we see some fundamental event to really support the ag sector in general by itself, it's what that's going to take to prop on up. But the well-advertised economic correction, for say, is starting to take hold. It was well-advertised that once the calendar turns 2014, once people start getting credit card bills from the holidays and start writing out higher health care insurance checks, that it's going to be awful tough to keep the positive attitude, not only here in the U.S., but, you know, worldwide. Concerns in Asia, concerns in the southern hemisphere of these emerging markets and so forth. Just probably going to put things on hold in through here until we see this outside market try to find some stability. Talk of moving out of the stock market into commodities, that might support the idea why grains were up in the stock market down, but that we didn't actually see physical transfer of those dollars from the stock market into the grains, at least for right now, is mainly just all-out liquidation in the stock index market here as traders short of sidelines go to safe havens of the bonds and the metals.
News from South America suggests that they are started, and we know that this is the case, with the harvest of soybeans there, and that they're beginning to stack up a few vessels to get them loaded for the export market.
Yeah, if you want a copy of that picture, it's been floating around on the internet. It's quite impressive. I don't know if it's a real picture or not.
No, I saw it.
It was about 20 boats out there just anchored all nicely spaced apart, but we're off. Harvest has been gaining momentum. Depends how fast we can load out of the southern hemisphere. There's been a couple ships already leave, so it's been well anticipated. They're loading out beans. It's already been bought, and we'll see how that process goes, see if there's any type of delay as they navigate through that big volume of ships through there. Hopefully they won't run into each other and create some type of jam. But so far, yields started out strong. Then they were kind of disappointing. Now we're hearing better yields again. So The yield forecast is going to go up and down. There's some areas as much as 10 to 20% complete on harvest. The thing to watch, though, is these production numbers are going to remain somewhat large, and we'd have to see a drawdown of 5 to 10 million metric tons to really make that a market factor as we move down the road.
Yeah, I think that particular photo was released by a young fund manager who is on the wrong side of the market at the moment. He needs beans to go down.
Yeah, if anybody wants a copy of that photo, we'd be more than happy to include you in.
Oh, yeah. Hey, speaking of which, you're on Twitter, since that's where I saw it, and I'm sure that's where you saw it, too, probably. Or maybe it came in your email. What's your Twitter handle? It's at
C.Kimmel3. C-K-I-M-M-E-L-3. And actually, there is a good ag tweeter crowd there, and we are getting some good tweets out of the Southern Hemisphere and some good tweets from the cash guys, and it's a really a good tool to capture some instant news that's going across the newswire.
You know, it's kind of a fun tool to watch, and there's depending on who you watch and what information you're looking for, you can find some awfully good things. And lots of people are there talking about the commodity markets. Of course, you can follow us at Commodity Week. You can follow Dave at David A. Dickey. If you're following Twitter, I think it's a kind of a neat and unique social tool.
And you have to use caution, too, Todd, because there are, like you said, there are some people out there promoting things that aren't 100%. We try to sift through that a little bit, try to spit some of that out, and try to give you some solid news on there.
What do you think of the, let's switch topics, get back to the marketplace. What do you think of the numbers came out for the cattle on Friday afternoon?
Well, as expected, you know, we got the lowest inventory since, what, 1951. Continue to look at tight numbers. Starting to see heifer placements inch up a little bit as guys remain optimistic long term. When you look at the big picture here, the concern is total domestic consumption of red meat per capita consumption continues to drop off a cliff in here. So we're kind of at the mercy of the export market. So we need to continue to monitor export markets, make sure these emerging markets, especially Asia, doesn't fall apart on us. They continue to buy U.S. beef. But overall, this beef complex is going to remain tight for some time. For those in the cattle complex that know the reproductive cycle, it takes a while to build up numbers.
And the rest of the livestock sector, I suppose we have to look kind of forward to this grain stocks report due out in March. Do you suppose there are enough animals out there to continue to eat at the pace? The grain stocks showed us that was the case from December 1.
Well, yeah, we feel the livestock guys is going to hoard some grain in through here. These guys hand some grain, is going to keep a hold of it for a while. They, with the high prices for now, they're feeding to heavier weights. And, you know, true feed usage is going to inch up. I don't know if we're going to meet the total expectations just due to the fact that feed usage has become a miscellaneous category.
Right.
Big crop years, you got big usage, small crop years, you got small usage there.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Hey, take care, Todd.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Very quickly, here's a number to call if you'd like to go on our John Deere trip or if you want to go to our all-day Ag Outlook. John Deere's March 10, 11, and 12. The Ag Outlook over at the Beef House is March the 4th, 217-333-7300. A bit before that, if you're signed up to go to the Champaign Crop Management Conference this week, which is scheduled for Wednesday and Thursday, the Wednesday speakers will now be on Friday, and so that'll be Thursday and Friday instead of Wednesday, Thursday. If you can't make the Friday event, you can always go to Malta on the 12th of the month. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through the Ag News.
In agricultural news, the Senate will vote on the Farm Bill conference report this week. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid's office announced that he had filed cloture on the bill and that the cloture vote will be held today at 4:30 p.m. Central Time. Assuming that 60 senators vote to end debate, Then tomorrow at 1:15 p.m. Central Time, there will be 20 minutes remaining for final debate and closing statements, with the farm vote immediately following. During a news conference last week aboard Air Force One, Press Secretary Jay Carney signaled that the president would sign the bill. The Chinese government says it will allow more corn and soybean imports, but will keep a strict policy of self-sufficiency in wheat and rice. China's self-sufficiency policy allows less than 5% of the food grain supply to come from imports. China imported a total of 90 million metric tons of grains in 2013, of which 63 million metric tons were soybeans. Chinese policy does not restrict soybean imports, but there is a 7.2 million metric ton tariff quota for corn. Currently, corn in China is mainly used for feed and further processing, not for food processing. Tyson Foods, the largest U.S. meat processor, says that it expects pork supplies to drop 2-4% this fiscal year, raising wholesale prices as a deadly pig virus spreads through the U.S. hog belt. Porcine epidemic diarrhea, a highly contagious and potentially fatal pig virus, has contributed to higher hog prices. Average prices for live sows surged 28% in the last year. Industry analysts estimate up to 4 million may have died from the virus. PEDV was first discovered in April of 2013 in the U.S. and has now spread to 23 states and Canada. The Indiana House has passed a measure that would establish the Indiana Grown Initiative to market and promote Indiana-produced agricultural products. It calls for the establishment of a commission comprised of Indiana residents and marketing experts, as well as representatives from the agriculture industry, local retailers, farmers markets, and restaurants. The bill now goes on to the Indiana Senate for further discussion. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm UL Bio Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and this week's Will Ag panel at the Pork Expo, 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning at the Peoria Convention Center. Jackie Vake, Steve Meyer, and Tom Fitzemayer will be along with us to take up both the grains and the livestock there at the Pork Expo. If you'd like to come in, it's at the Convention Center in Peoria, 10:30 a.m., a much bigger day than just the Will Ag panel. You can always join them on Tuesday or Wednesday for the Pork Expo. And then on Thursday, we'll be in DeKalb at the Center for Agriculture, along with the folks at Castle Bank. And Wayne Nelson and Jackie Vakes will be there, plus Dan Bossi. That's at the Castle Bank event, held at the Center for Agriculture in Sycamore near DeKalb. If you'd like to go, we'd sure like to see you there at 1 in the afternoon on Thursday. If you can't make those events, check out our schedule online at willag.org, because there are a whole series of Will Ag panels all across the state of Illinois and Indiana over the next month or so. Dave's hosting some. I'm hosting some. We'll probably be in your area. You can find out all the details at WILAG.org. One other item, if you'd like to go on our John Deere bus trip, we need to know by February the 9th. I think we're about halfway to the point where we can actually take off and go. If you're planning to do so, call us now at 217-333-7300. Get more details and get all the information about where you need to call and sign up to go visit John Deere in Moline and Waterloo. We'll see the tractors and the combines being made, visit the pavilion, the museum, the headquarters. We'll eat right there at John Deere as well. That's all for about $550 a person. Double occupancy. Call now at 217-333-7300 for complete details. Now, up next, you know, the House of Representatives last week passed a farm bill. It includes a whole series of commodity programs. Jonathan Kappas is a farm policy specialist here on this campus. He's the former head of the FSA. He understands the policies and has this differentiation between the price loss coverage program and the agricultural risk coverage program. The second one is called ARC.
So there are some similarities. ARC, the effort was to simplify the way the revenue program worked. So ARC works on two different coverage levels, a county-level coverage, which is similar to, say, a GRIP-type policy that runs on a county revenue basis. So when the yields, when an actual yield times the actual price using the 12-month marketing year price, when that falls below this benchmark price, which is calculated using the five-year, what's called a five-year Olympic average. So you take the last five crop years, you drop the highest and the lowest, and average those out. That gets you a benchmark. If your actual is below, it was set at 86% in the final bill. If you're below that, that triggers the payment. So some similarities to ACRE in that regard. A little, hopefully, less complicated. One of the big issues that individuals saw with ACRE was what was called a double trigger, where you could have a loss on your farm, but if the state didn't suffer a loss, or vice versa, if the state suffered a loss and your farm didn't, it kind of complicated the way the program operated. That's not in this one, but there are other complications, such as the choice between county and individual level. Another interesting feature is that all of these programs, both the revenue program and the price loss coverage program, operate on base acres. So unlike the ACRE program in 2008, which was a planted acre, how many times we can say the word acre in this conversation, but it was based on your acreage planted to the commodity. This will be paid out and utilized as base acres. There is an option in there to reallocate your base, but you can't add base. So there's going to be some interesting decisions, and I think the folks that can model this and understand it are going to have their work cut out just trying to, map out what this will look like for individuals' farms and for different crop rotations and, of course, different regions of the country.
That's Jonathan Kappas, a policy specialist from the University of Illinois. You can hear a whole 27-minute, actually watch that interview with him, on our website at willag.org. It's all about the farm policies that you'll be dealing with across the nation over the next 5 years. That's at willag.org. Just scroll down and look for Jonathan Kappas.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's check now on the cash grain market. Brian Stark is on the phone line from the Andersons. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How do you prepare the elevator for a couple of days that are going to be hard weather?
That's always a challenge. Obviously, we have a very good outside crew that gets in here early and tries to clean everything up as best we can, and I think tomorrow's just going to be a natural challenge, so I just encourage anyone that is going to haul grain to be safe and take it slow on the roads.
Will you get grain in tomorrow?
I think it'll be probably pretty slow. I don't think, for the most part in January when we've had rough weather, producers have chose to wait out the weather, and I think that's the right avenue. We've been very flexible accommodating their deliveries terms based on that.
And what are your bids for the day?
Today we are 700 the March, puts us at 429 cash. New crop corn is 428. Cash soybeans 1303, and new crop beans 1083.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Carrot Cake Day. Carrots have been used in sweet cakes since at least the medieval period, at which time sweeteners were relatively scarce. On this day in agricultural history in 1815, the world's first commercial cheese factory was established in Switzerland. By the way, today there are some 450 types of cheese available in Switzerland. In 1823, Spencer Fullerton Braid was born, an American naturalist and zoologist. He was the second secretary of the Smithsonian Institute. By the end of his tenure, the National Museum housed more than 2.5 million specimens and artifacts. In 1862, William Jackson Humphreys was born, an American atmospheric physicist. He applied basic physical laws to explain the optical, electrical, acoustical, and thermal properties of the atmosphere. In 1890, Christophorus Ballet died, a Dutch meteorologist. He is best known for his observation that wind blows at right angles to the atmospheric pressure gradient. And in 1913, the 16th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified. It gave Congress the power to levy taxes on income. In 1913, less than 1% of the population paid income tax at the rate of 1%. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Well, let's check in with Mark Russo now. He's at... I can't come up with it. Well, I'll check in with him and see where he is. Earthrisk Technologies. I haven't said it often enough, Mark. I didn't have it in front of me to remember where you were here in Chicago. Hey, I've been talking.
I'm here somewhere.
Yeah, every time I talk with you since we started talking again, it seems like we have to go through bad weather, and that's going to happen again tomorrow and Wednesday and bring me through the winter storm.
Yeah, certainly another winter storm here in the cards for us and across the state here and adjacent areas of Iowa and Indiana can expect anywhere from 1 to as much as 7 inches of snowfall. The totals here, 3 to 4 inches will be up north, northern Illinois, central Indiana will be more of the epicenter of higher totals in the order of 4 to 6, even a few isolated areas a little bit higher than that. So more snow, and I guess not a huge winter storm in the grand scheme of things, but yeah, add more to these pretty impressive seasonal totals already.
Well, let's take that into account and then turn our attention to how much snowfall we actually have on the ground across the United States, particularly for the hard red winter wheat crop, whether there are any more cold temperatures that might be damaging there.
Well, we do see more cold on the way, especially as we go through this week and on into the upcoming weekend. Don't see it as being of any kind of winter kill threat, primarily because of this increase in snow cover that's occurring. And for the areas that will be dropping below zero across the Plains Hard Red Belt, which does include much of Kansas and even on into Colorado, there will be enough snow to protect it. So we're not concerned about that. But probably more important is actually with the snow cover in place, once that melts, it's beneficial to the hard red crop, considering that southern Kansas down through Texas has been very, very dry over the past couple of months. So net, they need moisture, and this precip here will help things once it eventually melts.
And finally, turn your attention to South America, where they are in the very beginning of the harvest season.
Yeah, and that's true across central north Brazil in the state of Mato Grosso. Some rain activity in western Mato Grosso over the next couple of weeks, which is pretty typical for this time of year, but that will help to at least cause some delays here in early harvest progress. For eastern Mato Grosso, though, that's the dry spot, and that's the area that we'll see good harvest progress coming up over the next couple of weeks. And once the harvesting takes place, as far as logistics to get to the ports, we see that as not having, as really no issues here developing, because much of Brazil is on the dry side over the next couple of weeks. It's been that way here for some time, which is actually pretty unusual for this time of year to be as dry as it is, but that is allowing good logistics for the harvested crops
as they go from combine to port.
Hey, thanks so much, Mark.
My pleasure, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Actually, he's at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. You can always find us online at willag.org. I'm Novi Extensions. Todd Gleason.